Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go! Welcome to another episode of Success Stories with Orion Photo Group, where we interview photographers who shoot with Orion and videographers and hear their stories. And today I am joined with Pennsylvania lead photographer Sean Mertz, who is, we've gone back and forth, and he made some suggestions of things that we can do to improve Orion, which I love to hear from. And I suggested he be on the show. He kind of balked at me a little bit, and I said every photographer has a story. So I'm glad to have you here on the show today. Sean, welcome to Success Stories. Thank you for coming on here today.
It's good to be here.
Cool. So Sean is from the Northeast. So first of all, I'm not sure where are you. You're in the Philadelphia area, or you're in the
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh area. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Don't do that. You know.
Listen, as a New Yorker, I completely understand the Philly dynamic.
The rivalry goes beyond hockey.
That's funny. Cool. So, are you born and bred in the Pittsburgh area?
Yeah.
You are. And let's see. It looks like you started. So I always like to start these off by just kind of talking about how you got started in photography and what was kind of the spark to get you started. So tell me a little bit about that.
I started taking pictures in like grade. Ooh. Took a class in junior high and stuck with it and went to the Art Institute here.
Okay.
No longer exists.
No.
They were better schools than they got credit for.
Yeah. Yeah, back in the 80s and even 70s, those small art schools were really great. And unfortunately, they most of them never survived after social media and YouTube and stuff like that. And you're right, a lot of those did not get enough credit for what they do. And mainly it was because the teachers were so great, and the teachers would have wealth of experience, but may or may not have been known for, you know, what they did and like that. So was there a particular teacher that you, you know, connected with that really helped you get from where point A to point B?
No, they kind of teamwork. There were some that made a bigger impact than others, but like the one photojournalism teacher, I only had him for one class. So I don't know. And more after that, like after I got my first job in news, the man there that I worked, we were a studio that had a contract with the weekly paper.
Okay.
So yeah, Dom definitely a big amount, and we're lucky here. Like at the time, the Pittsburgh Press that no longer exists. And this is a big part of my story: is that these things no longer exist.
That's unfortunately something that happens as we get older.
Yeah, like the they had this, they had a staff of, I think, photographers. They moved on to, I think in that group they had three EPA Photographers of the Years, Pulitzer Prize winners. So when that broke up, one of them went to work for Bill Clinton. One of them became a teacher at the journalism school in St. Louis. What was that called? St. Louis. You've heard of it, I'm sure, the Missouri St.
Louis. Oh, the University of Mizzou photojournalism. It's the that's in Columbia. I can't remember the name of the school, but yeah, it's a world-renowned photojournalism program. Yeah.
One of them went there.
Okay.
They went all over. It was very impressive where they went when they broke up. But and like the guy that worked at the job that I was in before me, he got a job at a daily paper and won some awards. Got laid off.
Yeah.
Went to another newspaper, I think it was in Chicago, and they laid off their entire staff. And so.
Yeah, I think that was the Tribune, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, seeing newspapers fold and reduce their staffs and things like that, I'm like, yeah, I gotta find a new direction.
Yeah, it's interesting what has happened photojournalism wise to so many people who worked at local newspapers, and I mean, you know, the pay was never great for any of these things, mm-hmm. but what it allowed you to do was get access to, you know, events and things that you may or may not. And any photojournalist that I've ever spoken to can talk fondly about some of the experiences that they've had, whether they were shooting sports or local politics, or just maybe it's a balloon race. But the access that you get, I always found really interesting. And, you know, many photographers are introverts, so it's really hard for them to, you know, kind of get access to these things and allow them to be part of things like that. And I'm not an introvert, but you know, it provided a really great experience for them to get access to things that they may or not have. And you know, those kinds of opportunities, unfortunately, I don't think are really around anymore. I think that's really a shame. Is there a particular experience that you had as a photojournalist that you remember fondly? That's putting you on the spot a little bit.
There's so many.
Yeah.
I got to meet Mr. Rogers, and, you know,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and we were doing, and at the time the paper was doing the series, like, meet the staff, and they wanted you, like, in your neighborhood. So I got my picture taken. I'm like, we were a group of papers, so I was covering maybe seven to nine communities at the time. So I'm like, hey, how about I get, so I got my picture taken with in the neighborhood of Make Believe.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, you know, those opportunities to do those things like that. And I'm sure it was a magical experience. About 7-8 years ago, I had a friend who was doing some B-roll for the NFL, and he was going to Sesame Street in Queens. And he said, I need somebody to shoot some behind the scenes shots. Can you come with me? And I went, and I got my picture taken with Oscar the Grouch. And it was the coolest effing experience of my life, meeting him, the guy who he did, you know, Oscar the Grouch did him and Big Bird. And I remember in like the corner of the studio was Big Bird's feet. And it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I got to see them taping and how those actors worked. It was incredible. And those kinds of experiences are just like, as photographers, we get to see things like that, that are really neat. But yeah, meeting Mr. Rogers, that's cool.
I got to drive through an amusement park because they're like, drive up to the potato patch. We were doing a story about this. It was like steak fries, the big, thick French fries. They were one of the first places to do that, I think. Meet us up here. So I was like driving through the amusement park and going there different times and getting to go places and everybody goes, like climbing on the roller coasters and stuff.
And those are the things that, you know, we never get to, you know, as just a regular person, we don't get to climb roller coasters. We don't get to do those things, you know. And I think that's one of the really, really cool things about being a photographer in general. And I've seen a lot of photojournalist photographers like yourself take those experiences and how they handled them. And it really does translate to shooting weddings. And, you know, if you take that same approach to the way you shoot weddings, that's where a lot of PJ photographers, I think, do really well in that experience. And I think sometimes we do forget that we, you know, you've shot hundreds of weddings, like myself, you know, hundreds of weddings, and each one of those is a different experience, and you take that approach when you shoot it. And I think sometimes we forget that we have access to those kinds of experiences. We also see people at the worst and the best, right? But, you know, we also get to experience things that people plan, and, you know, it can be very similar to shooting, that as well. So I want to talk to you about so you've shot, you know, almost 50 weddings with us over the years, and, it looks like you've got about a dozen coming up this year. Is there this one? I'm definitely putting you on the spot. Is there a favorite wedding that you've shot with OPG, or an experience that you can talk about that was unique? That one put you on the spot a little bit.
I actually got to do a wedding at the same amusement park that I was just talking about, so that was cool. And last year. The last wedding of the year was up where we go bike riding.
Okay.
About an hour and a half from here.
Okay.
So neat little town, and just getting to photograph somewhere that I've been to a lot, and always thought it'd be a fun place to shoot. Reception was they put a tent up next to, I'll call it a barn, but it's a metal building. But they had like a, and that tent had a clear roof on it.
Okay.
It was sort of neat because you could see as it was getting darker, the DJ's lights hitting off of the ceiling. It looked neat, so I was trying to get some pictures. Just lit off with his lights. I don't know if any of them really worked all that well. That worries me with Orion some, since we send in, you know, we send everything.
Right.
And I'm like, no, did I really, like, there's maybe 20 pictures at a time or something that look like nothing because I was trying to go really extreme on something. I'm like, did I really do that?
Well, that's our job to weed through that stuff, right? And that's one of the benefits of working with us.
What are they gonna think that it was doing?
And you're not alone, and you know that's part of the process for, you know, working with us, is that you have the ability to play and do different things, and then, you know, it's our job to kind of to weed through those things. Talk to me about, so I'm looking at your portfolio on OPG, and, you know, one of the things that I really like about your work is, number one, it's, I can see that you definitely have a very photojournalistic style, and, you know, it looks like you shoot generally with, I think, you know, and I could be wrong, it looks like you shoot with a lot of zoom lenses, and you definitely, try and, you know, kind of keep a distance away from your subjects a bit outside of your, you know, posed shots. And then it looks like, you know, I see a lot of stuff where you have a good grasp of off-camera lighting. You have some good sunset shots and stuff like that. Is there, you know, a reason that you've chosen to go with zoom lenses versus prime lenses? I always ask this question to photographers because I think it's a choice that you eventually make.
It's faster.
Okay. Yeah.
Carry one body with the, it's a 24 to 70 on the camera, and on the other camera, the 80 to 200, and sometimes I shoot it almost all with the short lens, sometimes it's like about 50-50, and I think what you're seeing there is just how they pick things, kind of, because there were a lot of wider shots. I do a lot of wide angle, too.
Yeah.
Probably less. When you redo your portfolio, they say, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 2 years?
So, 6 to 8 months, actually.
I don't know if we want to talk about that or not.
No, it's okay. We could talk about that a little bit. So, and I love that you're bringing this topic up. So yes, as an OPG photographer, you're supposed to update your portfolio kind of on a regular basis. It's based on how much you're shooting, whether it's with us or your own work. But, as we grow as a community and have more photographers shooting with us, and as photography evolves in general, you want to put your best work forward so that you're chosen as much as you want to be chosen, right? So it really depends on the work that you have. But if you, during your busier seasons, like as we go into, right now we're in around April, as we get into your busy season, wherever you live, you kind of want to update, and you're shooting more, you want to update 6-8 months, that will help. But, it's based on the work that you have. I wouldn't say anything, you don't want to go beyond 2 years to update your work. So I'll put you on the spot. When was the last time you updated your work?
Well, it was right before the pandemic.
Okay.
Unfortunately, something went wrong with that. And so my portfolio was still actually like 8 or 10 years old.
Okay.
I updated it a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, no, I'm here. Sorry. My video shuts off after 20 minutes. It's good that you've updated it and it will help you get more work. So, that's important. And, getting back to your wider shots, I think that's a good point that you've made too. As photographers, some of us prefer to have those great wide establishing shots that our clients like. What we've discovered internally in OPG, as far as portfolios are concerned, for a brief portfolio, what brides and grooms and couples are looking for, they want to experience themselves in the shots when they look at them. So great couple shots. So if you look at your portfolio, I would say 80%, and that's generally the case, 80% of your portfolio is going to be great couple shots. And that could be everything from pose shots to, like, you have this great shot of a bride and groom sharing a beer in some sort of beer garden, it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And brewery. Yeah, this, the Penn, it looks like Penn Brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brewery,
yeah. The beer looks delicious, but they also look like, they've chosen this place because they wanted to have it at a brewery. They're sharing a beer together. And then you have three different shots. The shots is one of them closer with the beers in their hand. There's another one of them sitting at the bar. And then there's a really nice shot of them looking at each other on a set of steps. And that's the kind of stuff that we're looking for, is like a series of shots like that, really. And then right below that is a bride alone shot, a bride and groom kissing, and then them walking together, really lit well. Those are the kinds of things that we have found have really, so most portfolios are very couple heavy, and that's kind of what we're looking for. And then the most successful shots are great couple shots. So think about that now as you're updating your portfolio. And those of you that are listening, think about those really great couple shots, because those are things that are what make really great winning portfolios with us and have you get selected a lot. What also I really like about your stuff is that when I look at it, it says I'm a Pittsburgh area photographer. That's with the beer garden. And then I see the rolling hills behind with the sunset shot. It looks like it's at a golf course. I'm sure you shoot at lots of golf courses where you're in your area. And, you know, there's a Catholic church, which if you live in Pittsburgh, you're going to shoot a Catholic wedding, right? And some of this may seem obvious to you, which is why I bring these points up, is, yeah, of course there's going to be a Catholic church in the shot, but those are things that you want to concentrate on as just advice for those of you who are listening, out there. Speaking of that, the last thing I want to talk to you about, and this is kind of how our conversation started, was talking about professional attire at a wedding. Now, as old guys in our industry, you and I both became wedding photographers by going out and buying a tuxedo. That was the maybe not in your area, but like the person that I was working for said, if you want to be a lead with me, you need to go buy a tux. And at that point, I was a senior in high school. So I was like, well, I'll go buy a tux because I'm going to need it for my prom anyway. And that was how I kind of got into it and bought my tuxedo. But that was, I remember showing up to the crew, after working with them as an assistant, I was a lighting assistant. And I remember showing up that next weekend with the tuxedo and it was like, I had arrived.
I didn't buy one because I wanted to concentrate on photojournalism.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
How I got into weddings was, one of the first ones was a couple that was activities coordinator at a high school.
Okay.
And so that's how she met her husband, was he had a balloon, animal balloon business.
Okay.
And because of their careers, they knew a whole lot. They had a whole lot of friends, so they had just the right combination of people. So they had their wedding at an old mill on a Friday or Saturday near here, very elegant and all that stuff. So that for that, I wore a suit.
Okay.
The next day, the reception was at a park, and even though it was October, it was like unseasonal, like 85 degrees or something.
Yeah.
So I wore like shorts and a polo for that.
Yeah.
Like everybody else.
Yeah.
Because they had a circus for the reception. That was kind of how I got into it, was working for the paper. People would say, well, we want you to do it because we don't want a wedding photographer.
That makes sense.
So that kind of developed my style.
Okay.
Dressing in the tux was definitely a thing for most wedding photographers. In the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that, you know, you didn't buy the tux. And I remember like kind of joking with, so there was this period of time in the late 80s where like there was the traditional classic wedding photographers that we wore the tuxes, right? Mm-hmm. And those are the kinds of weddings that we shot. And then with the emergence of these weirdos who were shooting 35mm, and not wearing tuxedos, they were like the renegades in the industry, right? And yeah, right, that's what I'm saying. Like that was you, and you know, we would be a lot of catering halls back in the day too. You'd go to these catering halls; there'd be six weddings going on at the same time, right? So you know, for fun, I would go out and smoke a cigarette during a break, and I'd like kind of peek my head into the other room and see what was going on. And I would be like, look at that photojournalist. He's not even wearing a tux. And you know, it shows you kind of how time has changed. But I do, you do make a good point that what you said was, you kind of said, I wore what everybody else was wearing. And that's kind of the point that I wanted to make with us talking about this, is that in today's world, obviously, the world in general is just more casual. In general, I've kind of learned this in living in different parts of the country. You kind of have to read the room. And if you're a new photographer to OPG or just a photographer shooting weddings for the first time, it's one of these things where you should read the room. And in general, what you said is you wore what everyone else is wearing. If you do that, you're going to be fine. And you generally can dress down just a little bit than everybody else. So if it's an afternoon wedding, maybe everybody's wearing suits, you can get away with slacks and a shirt, not even a tie, right? And back in the day, you would wear a suit as well. The Northeast in general is generally more formal than anywhere else in the country, especially the New York area. And then as you get up into New England area as well, your beach wedding could still be black tie. So like you have to kind of read the room as far as that's concerned. But the rest of the country, like in California, you can get away with wearing shorts and a t-shirt to a wedding, literally. Maybe not in the LA area, but in many places. So you kind of have to read the room. But I think the most important thing is that you want to wear comfortable clothes, but you want to look professional. And, if it's a faded black t-shirt that you've been wearing for 10 years, probably not. Go buy a new white black t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sorry, you wanted to say something. No. Okay. And I think that's a good point. You want to be comfortable, but at the same time, when you work with OPG or for yourself, the last thing you want to ever do is stand out as somebody that you're being talked about. You want to blend in. And at the end of the day, if you wear black, generally that's going to be an acceptable thing. I remember, when I kind of got really casual. And the summertime, I think, is the hardest, especially if you're working an outdoor wedding and it's really hot. I used to wear black pants, black suit pants, and a black button-down. And then I would bring a jacket with me, and I would only wear it when necessary, during the ceremony and maybe parts during the reception where, it was necessary. Generally, I would just wear the black shirts. And in a hot wedding day, I would bring two shirts with me and I'd change it because I'd be soaked. So I'd soak through it, outside. So just some advice on that. You can never go wrong with a black shirt and a black pair of pants and a black pair of shoes, no matter where you're at. And in the summer, you can get away with a black polo shirt too. I would bring two polo shirts with me, depending where you're at.
Yeah. And try to be aware if you're going to be on, especially when there's video, you probably end up getting in the shot.
Exactly.
You want to be wearing something not noticeable, like bold patterns or bright colors. I was helping a friend with a wedding once years ago, and the video crew wasn't part of us. And one lady running the camera, she was right up next to the priest and wearing a bright red blazer.
My gosh.
That was fun retouching her.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you want to blend in with everybody else so that if you wind up in the shot, you're not going to be. And I'm looking at one of your portfolio shots. So it's a wide shot of the entire ceremony and people and all the people sitting down. The bride and groom are at the top of these steps. It's stoned, and the bridal party's on either side of the steps. But it also has another tier above where it looks like maybe there's a DJ who's monitoring the sound or something like that. And you know what? He's wearing a suit with a white shirt, and he looks like he belongs there. But if the guy was wearing a hoodie and shorts, it would completely ruin the shot. So, think about those things when you're getting dressed.
And that was part of the ceremony.
Yeah,
that was during the ceremony, so you have to shoot it. You can't not shoot it.
Of course. And we're not going to spend a lot of, and whether it's us or your own work, we're not going to spend a lot of time retouching shots like that out. Like, it is what it is. So, you don't want to be the person or the bride looking at a shot like that and say, can you believe this DJ, how he ruined this shot, or this photographer ruined that shot. So anyway, it looks like we're at about time. Sean, I appreciate you spending time with us. And the reason this podcast happened was because Sean had made some suggestions to me that I then took to our staff to talk about. And I really appreciate that feedback. And as in general, for those of you listening out there, my job in the company is to try and create a better experience for you working with us. And I want to hear your feedback. And, you know, as a result of this, I asked him to come on the podcast and talk with me. I'd love to chat with you. Sean's going to get a $25 B&H gift card as a thank you for being on today's show. And I'd love to hear any feedback or stories that you heard. Like, I love hearing stories about Mr. Rogers and where you got started and all of that. Last question. Mm-hmm. Your first camera, what was it?
Pentax K1000. I bought it when I was in eighth grade.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, so it was all manual, mechanical, sort of had a light meter.
Sort of.
But it wasn't real accurate. So the things suggested exposures in the film box, like, those actually worked pretty well.
They did.
And I still shoot that way to a degree. Like, if I'm outside and I shot tons of Tri-X for the newspaper, I use 400 as my base settings. Because I know if I walk out in late afternoon sun, I know I can set the camera at 500 f/8. I'm ready to go.
So that's your own Sunny 16 rule, right?
Well, that's shooting into the sun.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You almost never have the sun behind it.
Right. Exactly. Agreed. Cool. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us today, Sean, and good luck shooting this summer, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Success Stories. I'd love to hear your success story. Join us. Like Sean, you'll get a $25 B&H gift card, and we will see you on the next episode. Thank you so much, Sean. All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode, or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. That's jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.